Welcome to Big Blend Radio's Wine Time with Peggy show, featuring Peggy Fiandaca, who along with her winemaker husband, Kurt Lawrence Dunham, owns and operates LDV Winery in Arizona. Hey everyone, you know that it is time to go out to Arizona to talk about wine and May. The month of May is here. It's May Day. It's May 1st. And today, Peggy is going to talk to us about how to celebrate the May month, where we think about like Mother's Day. We've got Memorial Weekend, National Wine Day on May 25th, one of the most important holidays of the year. So we're going to be talking about how to celebrate. We're going to talk about rosés. We're going to talk about vignette. We're going to talk about recipes, perfect recipes. You know, it's that spring brunch season. So, and also the wine term of the month, which I am going to giggle. Can I just go, you sucker? What is it? That's with an S. Yes. Yeah. Say this, make sure we say this correctly. So yeah. Okay. So that's the term of the month. We'll get to it. But first, what's going on in the vineyard? What's going on inside the actual tasting room in Scottsdale? Because where you are in the Chiricahua foothills, it's got to be a little cooler than Scottsdale, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, May is a perfect month to come visit Arizona because I think it's beautiful. I mean, the average temperature in May is in the 90s, and that sounds high for people elsewhere, but it is beautiful. Because of course the low humidity, so it doesn't really get unbearably hot until you're in the 110s in Arizona. But May is perfect month, mid 90s. At the vineyard, though, we're in the mid 80s, which is, I mean, how much more perfect can you get? And so, yeah, we're excited about May. There's a lot going on. May's an important month to really set the foundation for a great harvest. So we have a lot going on. Great times.
So what's it? When do the little grapes come out?
Well, they're a little bit longer. So, but May is a key month because flowering occurs in late May, and that's the beginning of when they start coming alive. You know, the little grapes start producing, and of course, in southeastern Arizona, we have those incredible winds that come off the Chiricahua Mountain behind us. And so they can blow those flowers away, which we don't want to have happen. But so nothing we can do to protect them except hopefully they're strong enough and we could get through and have a nice flowering towards mid to late May.
Okay. Okay, so we're looking forward to those little baby grapes. No wind, but you know, wind is important for other plants and everything. So it's kind of like, because the saguaros normally bloom, the saguaro cactus in May too. So it's kind of like they're going hand in hand. It's the white blossom season, you know? So that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of beautiful flowering of our plants here in Arizona in April and May. So it's a fun time to be here. The weather's perfect. The swimming pool is starting to warm up with the sun every day, and we probably won't get rain now until, you know, monsoon season. So every day we wake up into a sunny day.
Sunshine is a good thing. We love the sunshine. It's good for all of us. So our spring brunch, is that happening? You know, are people out and about and enjoying the weather, going out for early mornings, like a Sunday brunch, you know, champagne, some wine, now Grenache, rosé?
Everything, everything. Yeah, it's patio weather. It's perfect patio weather. So any restaurant that has a patio, you want to be on it here in Arizona, or, you know, everyone's home has a beautiful patio. And so make your own brunch and sit out there, or just pop a bottle of champagne and sit out there, whatever you want. But
it could become a day of day drinking.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, if you're at home and you got a pool, you got some wine, you know, start with the bubblies and you hit the Grenache, right? The vignette. Yeah. What would you say?
Yeah. I think I always call our vignette the pool pounder. It's the wine you want to have while you're sitting with your feet dangling in the pool and enjoying this beautiful spring weather. It's just perfect. But everyone's, all the restaurants have incredible brunch, and especially for Mother's Day, that's a big thing to do, is to take your mom to brunch. So, of course, everyone's allergies. So, my nose is a little stuffed up this morning, and but the because everything's in bloom, everyone has their allergies going.
That's how I've been sounding on every podcast. And, I'm just like, okay, everybody, excuse me. I'm getting the tissues out. I'm like, I'm not crying. But it's okay. And I have learned that, moving your wine time up an hour or two because of it helps. I don't, that's just my own impression of what you should do. But let's talk about, we'll get to the wine term, but your rosé and vignette, is it true more coming out? So you got some celebrating to do?
Right. So we, Kurt and I, at the end of April, we sat down with wine from various containers, some from the stainless steel, some from 1-year-old oak, some from aged French oak, and we began to test different formulas to see what we want to bottle. And the rosé of Grenache that we have for 2023 vintage, stunning. Oh my goodness. It is, I think it's going to blow people away. The aroma of that wine is just incredible. It's just, oh my gosh, but it's smooth. It's medium bodied, I would guess, and it has a wonderful finish. It's going to be a great food wine. So we're thrilled about the 2023 rosés. We have two rosés, very different styles or very different flavors coming out soon. But then remember your vignette, I call it your
Yes,
vignette,
our
you and
babies.
Nancy's, your baby, when you did barrel tasting last summer of our vignettes. We are going to make two different vignettes. Well, actually, three total. We're probably going to make out of the vignette that you tasted in the barrel. And we're going to do one that came out of the stainless steel tanks, which I think you also tasted. So we have a Sky Island vignette, 2022 vintage. And we're going to do a Rhyolite White, which is our special label, a 2022 of the vignette. Amazing how different the two vignettes taste. So we're very excited about those two vignettes. And then remember we tasted the vignette that was in French oak, which I think you really liked. And it's just and it tasted wonderful. It really did. But we want to get a little bit more toastiness on that vignette. So we're going to wait. We left it in barrel, and we're going to wait on that one until after harvest and taste it again and see if it added a little bit more flavor. But that's the, I mean, that
That's
is the
exciting,
best.
though.
It is very exciting. It's the best part of our job, in my opinion, is when we get to, after watching these babies in the barrels and in the tanks evolve. Because remember, I told you maybe 2 months ago we tried it. And we were not happy with the vignettes. They were not playing nice. They
They heard
weren't.
you, Peggy. They heard you on
Yes.
the podcast. They said,
Yes.
uh-oh,
She's
uh-oh.
not happy. And so we let them continue to rest and lay up. And this time they came through. And I'm thrilled with the flavors that we got.
That's
Yeah, you're gonna.
what's so cool about doing this show with you, is to kind of hear what the inside life of winemaking is, what it's like, because it's not easy, as we talk about on this, right? And then you get the sample, the fruits of your labor, literally, and then the fruits of your labor goes away, and you have to start all over again. And it's always this
Right.
continuous thing, but it's like you can't just put something in place and like it's there for it's a wow. How, I mean, isn't that kind of a weird thing, in that, and you can never really, it's like a temporary art form where your art, like you could get a painting and it ends up in the Louvre or something. It's protected unless someone does something stupid, which people have been doing to artwork. But as a winemaker, there's a limit of how long you can store that wine, right? Or I guess
Right.
it,
Well, we need to get it moving because we have a whole harvest coming soon, and we need space for the new vintage to come in. But as you know, we've talked about in the past, we don't like to move wine to the marketplace unless we feel it represents our brand. And a few months ago, when we tasted that Viognier, it was good. It was nice. Probably other wineries would have barreled or bottled it, but it wasn't LDB yet. It wasn't what we expect from our wines. And so just letting it age another 4 months or so made a huge difference, and we're proud to move it into the bottle and then onto the marketplace soon.
So once it's moved into the bottle, it's not quite aging anymore, but it is still kind of doing it. And so that's where it's like, what is the shelf life after that? Because to me, like, so wouldn't you want to have an LDV winery museum? Like, you should taste this from last year, but you can't, or like, from 40 years ago, don't, you know what I mean? You kind of want to have that kind of, but that's that moving art form. It's always flowing.
Well, we always keep some in our library because being a young winery, only 17, 18 years old, you want to see how your wines age over time, right? So, in fact, in May 19th, we do have a library wine tasting where we invite our wine club members and anyone else that wants to participate. And we open up some of those very old vintages that might now be 10 years old, 8 years old, and taste them, see if they're still tasting well or
Oh,
not.
wow.
And the folks that come to that library tasting get to purchase some of those old vintages if they choose to. So
Wow.
that's our test to see how well our wines are aging over time. So far, so good. We're very pleased with how well they're doing.
Well, I
So it's
find that
exciting.
interesting because you're doing that with people, and then, like, uh-oh, what if? You know what I mean? So this is a very
Right.
transparent thing, but it seems like you
Yes.
are always doing that. This very open, this is the way it is. It's this, we're working with nature. So things can be this way. And if it decides, hey, I don't want to be older than 8 years, that's what it decides, right? So it's not really a negative, it's just the way it is. So you're letting people be part of that process. And you've always done that with the winery.
Right. We tell people what's in our wines. We're very open about everything we do, and I think the public should expect that. We expect it from farmers to let us know what they're doing to grow the plants that we make products out of. And I think a winery should do the same thing. And we care about that grape to glass experience. So every step of the way is important to us, and we want to bring you along on that journey so that you can appreciate our wines. And if you see a little bit of sediment in your glass, you understand that that's the love dust that we leave behind because we don't have any additives
It's the
in our
Bitsies.
wines. It's the
Yes.
Bitsy. Yep.
We like the
So.
Bitsies. It's the, yeah, we see the Bitsies. We're like, oh, it's got, it's like kind of the salt of the earth. It's still there. So with World Wine Day, National Wine Day coming up, that is May 25th. So it's over Memorial Weekend. So like,
Right.
that's a good time to hang out on the patio and really celebrate with your friends, get in the pool, all of that good stuff. But are you doing anything special for Wine Day?
We do have a special, at the tasting room in downtown Scottsdale, we have different wine flights that people can taste. And we have one that's called the Taste of LDV, which is you get to taste all four of our grape varieties that we grow. So you get a Viognier, a Grenache, a Syrah, and a Petite Syrah. And that's typically a $20 wine flight. Well, you get $5 off that on National Wine Day because we want you to really taste our vineyard and taste those wines.
Yeah.
So, perfect thing to come in and sit on the patio, have a charcuterie board, and do a taste of LDV.
Very cool. Very cool. Now, Mother's Day, got anything going on? Because that's Nancy's, Ness was born on Mother's Day.
Oh, is that
So,
right? Oh,
yeah,
perfect.
she's a Mommy's Day person. Yeah, still, she's
Oh,
always, I'm being nagged already.
wow.
I've been nagged for a full month. So, she said, I want, ask Peggy, what are they doing? So,
Well, we're starting a paint and sip event, and so on May 8th, we have an artist that comes and we're doing glass vases so that you can paint a beautiful vase for your mother, and then Fill it up with flowers, and it's a wonderful gift for Mother's Day. So it's just before Mother's Day, and you can, uncover your Picasso that's hiding deep inside, and paint your vase, and fill it up with beautiful flowers, and you have a homemade gift that mom would love, I'm sure.
That's awesome. Or you could even do it with your mom. You could go together at the
Yeah.
event. That's the other thing is I think, handmade gifts are we've got to not let go of that,
Yes, I agree. And just having an experience, so if you did bring mom and do it together or you and your sister or you and some friends that do it together and have that experience, of course, enjoy wine while you're painting your vase. And then even go and pick some flowers or go and choose some flowers to put in that vase. For a gift. I just think it'd be a wonderful gift.
Or you could fill it with wine.
Or fill it with wine, whatever.
I think a bottle of wine, some flowers, and a hand-painted vase is like the perfect gift. And if you could make brunch, that's even, added to that. So we've got your recipe we'll talk about in a second. But first, what is the suckering? Are we getting sucker punched? What's going on?
Suckering is something that we do in May. And, suckering, if you've ever grown roses, bare root roses, or if you have trees like cherry trees or any kind of trees that are grafted in some way, you will have to sucker those trees. And like vines, we'd go through the vineyard and it's hand done, every vine. We remove the growth that appears from the root systems of the vines, and it happened below the first cordon. Remember, the vines grow up, and then we have the cordon, which is this, go off the vine, right? And so that first cordon, anything below it on the vine, we want to remove any of those spurts of vines that come off below that cordon. That's suckering. We want to take all those suckers off and just
No suckers
no
allowed.
suckers. Nope, exactly. And then later in the month, we've talked about this before, we do what's called shoot thinning. So we've removed all the suckers on the main vine, first cordon, then we remove anything along this cordon that we don't want on there, any of the growth. Because remember, we have positions that come up that we have pruned to. So anything in between, we take off the vine. So that happens later in May. So suckering comes first, and then we remove, do the shoot thinning. So
Okay,
it's
and so that gives it that helps them because when your babies come out, the baby grapes,
right.
then you don't want them to be over clustered and too hot and moist. I said that word again, but I know some people don't like it. But that's not good because then that's when, all those weird
Right.
things can happen in life. So
Right.
they need aeration would be the word, right?
Right. So May is an important month. Also, what we're doing in the vineyard is we're spreading gypsum, which is, an element that we spread on the ground to provide it's a good nutrient, but also what's important about having good gypsum in your soil is that it allows for better water absorption. We want to make sure that our water is very efficient and is feeding the vines very effectively. So we begin to probably first week of May, we'll spread that gypsum, we'll start the suckering, and then later in the month we'll begin the shoot thinning of the vines. So important month lays the foundation for a good harvest, and then we'll see the flowering occur maybe late May. So it's an important
Oh,
month in the
that's
vineyard.
awesome. That's awesome. It's exciting. But it's kind of like getting the nursery ready for the babies. Like you got to have the nursery room nice and cleaned out so there's You can't be all cluttered and falling over your baby. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? So.
And as you know, we believe that great wine starts in the vineyard, and this is the process of laying that foundation for a great vintage, 2024 vintage, is making sure the vineyard is ready to produce and is everything that we have control over, we're doing now. Of course, there's a lot of things we don't have control over, the weather being the main one, but we're trying to make sure that the vineyard is well prepared to produce a really incredible vintage.
Does Kurt ever get a break?
This time of year, he's had some time up here at the vineyard. He spent some time with clients down at the tasting room yesterday, or actually quite a bit in late April. He's been up here, and the 1st of May, we have a luncheon that a winemaker luncheon that we're doing. So he's back and forth and at this
Yeah.
time of year.
It's just, I know, because it goes from harvest. I think winter, it's like, okay, but then you're still watching. It's like, it just seems like the work is never done. I mean, do you guys ever get to
True.
go on a vacation? Like,
No.
would you feel okay going to Europe now and leaving your
No.
vineyard for a week? Like, no.
No. No. No. No. Not now.
Wow.
After harvest, when the vines start to go do into dormancy, and we've put the last of the nutrients in the soils in dormancy, so we can take winter vacations
Okay.
in
When
the
everybody
and
comes to Arizona, you can leave.
yeah
Is that right?
yeah so November, October, or late October, November, December, where it's pretty safe to January, pretty safe to take off and do
Wow.
something.
Yeah, you have to have some breaks because you guys work
Yeah,
hard. I mean,
we
on all
do.
sides, even doing the tasting room, that's a whole business in itself. It's like running two different companies,
You're right.
It is. I mean, and then also, there's, yeah, that's a yeah, the club and everything that you do too. But
Yeah.
glad you're having fun. I like this painting and that you bring all of these, the arts into what you're doing. Let's get to the recipe because I know everyone loves your recipes. Fresh asparagus and blender hollandaise.
Right.
And you know what? We get this kind of, isn't this interesting about hollandaise and mayonnaise? And aioli. These are things like pesto, super easy to actually make, but aren't we all a weirdly, like, there's a lot of us who are like, I can't make that. That's too, isn't
Oh
the
my
term,
gosh, it's
right?
so easy. In fact, our herbs are going crazy in our garden right now. And so Kurt made in a oh my gosh, I'm drawing a blank on what he did, but he,
Is
what
it
was
with
it?
basil? Basil or
Parsley. He made it with
parsley.
parsley. He made a parsley basil with nuts, of course, pesto, parsley pesto, excuse me. And it was awesome. And he put it on pasta. And I think it
Ooh.
is better than basil pesto. It was just incredible.
I've always
So,
wondered about parsley. I always thought it was more like for your after, like to eat, to consume it. I've never quite gotten it. Like,
oh, it grows so incredibly. I also like it just in salads. So, chop it up and put it in with your lettuce salad or whatever. But this is a new one, a parsley pesto, which was just
with
incredible. I
nuts,
would.
with pine nuts, would you be mostly pine
No,
nut?
he made it with almonds.
Oh,
So
wow.
whatever nuts you have on hand, I think you can make a good pesto out of. So, the pesto is simple. It's whatever the ingredient is. So we use parsley, olive oil, whatever nut you want, and Parmesan cheese, a little salt and pepper. And of course, we put cayenne in everything, a little cayenne and
Yeah.
butter. No, and olive oil,
Oh,
excuse me, not
yeah,
butter.
olive oil. I put
Yeah.
garlic and stuff. Well, that's
Oh, and
just
garlic, excuse me. Of course, you
garlic.
have to have
I'm
garlic.
sorry, but garlic, it
Yeah.
I am like a walking garlic bulb. And I figure
Exactly.
that's a way of staying healthy and keeping bad people away.
Oh yeah, you gotta have a lot of a garlic. Of course, being
Oh.
Italian like I am, yeah, garlic is it.
It
So,
is.
do you know where the origin of the word hollandaise or hollandaise came from?
Is it from Holland? I
Well,
had
it
to
is
guess.
interesting. Yeah, no, exactly. It's the history is, of course, in France. But in France during World War I, they couldn't make butter. So they imported from Holland, and hence over time it became Hollandaise. So yes, that's what it did originally, have its roots in Holland, but mostly because of France being able to kind of adopt it and create Hollandaise is the origin. And this time of year, I mean, I love asparagus. I mean, some people don't, I guess, but oh my gosh, I just love asparagus. In springtime, it's popping up. And you'll see in restaurants right now or in May, a lot of the white asparagus that is available, which in my opinion is a little bit sweeter, and it's not as grassy as the green asparagus is, but they're basically the same. White asparagus is basically grown in the dark, so it doesn't have the chlorophyll that that green asparagus is exposed to. So try them both, but the green asparagus is great with hollandaise sauce.
Well, the white asparagus, I have a story about that.
What?
So, way back when in the 1800s in Las Vegas, there was an Asian lady, this is before the casinos, and came over, as people did. And this is when the railroads and everything were getting built. And she had kids, she was on her own. And so she started growing asparagus, white asparagus in the desert, covered it with newspaper so it would go white, like you're talking about. And because of the railroads, she became like this major proprietor, selling her white asparagus, putting it on a train. It would go to San Francisco, and that was the biggest
Wow.
thing. And how about that for a lady of the Southwest? Go, girl.
Awesome.
I
Yes,
had to break that
exactly.
up. A friend wrote
Creative.
it in her book, Arizona author Jan Clear. She wrote it out. She's written, I need to get her back on a show. She's awesome. She's written the history of Arizona, basically, a lot of women, women's history. And that's one of the stories was this lady. And it's always stuck with me because who would ever think that some little
Right.
lady is out in the middle of the desert and, that Mojave Desert, right? Growing
Right.
asparagus and, made it for her and her kids. I mean, that's
I
amazing.
love it. I love that.
So,
That's a great story.
but we're not using white asparagus on this one, but
I'm suggesting green asparagus, but people are scared about making hollandaise. And if you make it the traditional way, it can be a little bit tricky, but this is simple. It is really, really simple. You do it in a blender. So you add about 4 ounces of unsalted butter
See, she
into a
wanted the
pan.
butter. You wanted the
Yeah, you
butter.
gotta have the butter. And you do that in the pan, and you melt that down and only bring it to a simmer, because you don't want a brown butter, obviously. You want just a nice simmer, because you're going to use that butter basically to cook the egg, because we're not cooking this hollandaise, right? So you got to watch it. Once the butter is melted, you add lemon, and about a half of a large lemon, the juice of that lemon, to that butter. And then you put the yolks, and this recipe calls for two different egg yolks, and put that in the blender. And then you with the lid on, or well, you start the blender and you beat those egg yolks. And as the blender is on and the lid is on, you're going to add that lemon butter slowly as the egg yolks are to the egg yolk mixture. And you want to let that emulsify, right? So it'll get thicker. And you're also cooking that egg, so you're not, you won't get sick or anything. But you basically, it'll thicken up, and then all that you do as it thickens, you turn off the blender, you add some salt and pepper, and of course we add cayenne because we love that, a little spice to it, and pulse it to incorporate, and boom, you got an incredible hollandaise. Simple, simple, simple.
It's that lemon that adds into it, that lemony, buttery. Like Eggs Benedict is probably one of my top meals, And I used to do it with avocado. Like when I was vegetarian, I would take the egg and do the avocado and the hollandaise, but I'll take it all. I'll take it all
Yeah,
now.
no,
But the
that's
avocado
wonderful.
is like creamy with it, you know?
Sure, that would make a lot of sense. Or you just do an English muffin topped with a poached egg. You don't have to put meat on it necessarily, or you can put whatever,
Bacon.
or
Canadian
prosciutto.
bacon. Oh, prosciutto. See, this is the season. It's the spring brunch season. That's what I love, brunch. I think it's the best thing. You don't, we rarely eat lunch. We're pretty much more brunch people. And then evening, it's wine and bring the charcuterie board. I'm fine. That's it. That's all I need. That's all we need. But I
And
love this
so,
recipe.
yeah, the recipe is great, and what you want to pair it with in terms of wine. Champagne is served a lot at brunch, which you want something dry and crisp to go with, like an Eggs Benedict with a hollandaise, because you want to be able to cut through that fattiness and the richness of the hollandaise. So you wouldn't want to serve a buttery Chardonnay with poached eggs with hollandaise, but you might want to choose our Vignée, our Sky Island Vignée, which is really light and crisp. Or you might want to choose a Chenin Blanc that might be very dry and crisp, or a Riesling. A dry Riesling would be beautiful with brunch. But don't choose anything with a sweetness or anything with too much oaky butteriness, because it'll clash with the
Yeah, it's
dish.
too similar, right? It's like you kind of have to have that balance and the acid and all that good stuff. But the Viognier sounds perfect.
Oh gosh, yeah. No, that would be awesome. I'm hungry. I don't know about
I
you.
know. I know. I'm just like, when you start talking about hollandaise sauce and wine, I'm like, all right, where's the, where, put me in a bathtub of the sauce and give me my wine. It's yummy. But the brunch thing, I think this is something for people to realize too. It doesn't always have to be the bubblies. A rosé can be used, right? Like a Grenache
A
too,
dry
depending on what you
rosé.
have.
That would be awesome. And
And
rosé, I just always have to remind people, because people think rosé is a type of grape. No, it's the style of winemaking is a rosé winemaking style. So you can get a rosé out of Grenache, like we make it. You can get a rosé out of Syrah, out of Sangiovese, Cabernet. Whatever the grape might be, you can make it rosé style. And we love the rosé of Grenache that we make.
Oh, we do too. I'm excited. I can't wait to find out more about the rosés that you're releasing. That has to be like a special when you're that excited about it. Yeah, I know. It's going to be good. It's going to be good as
And
always.
I also want to remind people that if they want some wine from us or anyone on the West Coast, order soon, because we stop shipping across the country in mid-May because of the heat. So, we have no control over how that wine gets to you via trucking, and if it's air conditioned, if it's whatever, sitting at the dock too long. So if you want regular shipping, we pretty much stop at the beginning, mid-May. So order up your wine. Otherwise, it's going to be a very long summer till October. We still continue to ship, and sometimes we run specials of 2-day, 1-day shipping, but it's more expensive. So order up your wine from the West Coast before it gets too hot.
Yeah, that's a good reminder. And then it comes back in the fall, right? Like October,
Correct.
November.
Correct. So if the winemaker is like us and cares about the quality of our wine and making sure that when it gets to you, it's really first class, order it now.
Good tip for everyone. So everyone, ldvwinery.com. If you go on there, you've got great blogs, videos. You can see Kurt also does great videos. Takes you out in the vineyard or shares some terms, which is really cool. And also, find out about all the events and more of Peggy's recipes. Peggy's recipe is in the show notes, so check out that link or just go to blendradioandtv.com. Peggy, happy spring, happy
Thank
wine day.
you.
Happy Mother's Day, happy Memorial Day, happy wine day. I'm just excited.
Thank you, Lisa. And tell Nancy we said hello.
I will. Thank you for listening to Big Blend Radio's Wine Time with Peggy show. Keep up with LDV Winery at ldvwinery.com. Keep up with Big Blend Radio at bigblendradio.com.